T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on. Good morning. Game 3. It's happening.
Here we go.
Feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 as the 650 has already weighed in. If no Clay, can't wait to see what crazy lineup Kerr sticks in there. This is one of the bigger tests for Kerr coming up in Game 3, but real quick, we'll just welcome you in. Hope you're having a lovely Wednesday at 5 in the morning. And do people realize that these could be the last games at Oracle?
Exactly. It could be today and tomorrow. It could be it. If they get it tonight, if they win tonight, I'm pretty much going to say it will be tomorrow night will be the last game.
Really?
I honestly believe that if they can get by tonight with, you know, especially if Klay Thompson doesn't play tonight, they still get the win. I mean, how do you come back after that as the Raptors?
So what?
A depleted team.
They'd be what? They'd be 3-1 going into Toronto. Then they just have one game in Toronto. Then they come back. So you're saying this series is just going 5 if they win tonight?
If they win tonight, I honestly think that's going to happen.
Really?
I really do. But so it's a tall task to win tonight with such a depleted team right now.
Wow.
You know, you have no Kevon Looney anymore. He's done. Kevin Durant's not playing tonight. We don't know what's going on with Klay Thompson and how much, you know, if he does play, how much of a hindrance that leg is going to be, how hard that injury is going to, how we can play with that. So if they could get it done tonight, how do the Raptors come back from that?
501, Anna, and you already got flames just spitting out into the microphone.
I'm ready.
Damn.
Coffee's kicked in. Ready to go.
Real quick, so Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports fame had the all-media basketball tournament yesterday.
That's right.
And I was tuned in because we had guys like JD, John Dickinson, 95.7 reporter, who was he was commentating but also playing. He was a jack-of-all-trades for this tournament. Got to give a shout out to JD. He was doing it on all sides. He was the sideline reporter.
Commentator, right?
Yeah, he was Jeff Van Gundy. He was Mike Breen. He was Doris Burke, and he was also, I'd consider him Draymond because he was getting points in the paint. Guru, how'd he do? He did okay. He was getting some shots up. I'll say okay. I'm not going to disparage any of those media guys because I'm no good at basketball unless like I take like 3 months worth of practice and then get it down. But these guys got out there and they got after it. But I will say I haven't watched a pickup basketball game, like a full one, in a really long time. And how they did it was they just had 15-minute quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And so or just 15-minute games. That's how it was, just 15 straight minutes. And I had a lot of respect now for these pro players' stamina because they were all gassed in their first games by the time 10 minutes were up. No, I don't blame them at all.
Of course.
It's just it just goes to show you how well-conditioned these professional athletes are.
Yeah, maybe they ease up on them maybe when it comes to the whole rest and everything and just kind of talking about that. Anybody stand out, though, performance-wise?
Anybody stand? Not necessarily. They were all...
Who won, by the way?
I have no idea. I didn't stay up late enough. Apparently it went into overtime. One guy who stood out, between the two, the Warriors outsiders, I think it was Drew Schiller.
Yeah.
Guy could knock down some threes. He's been watching the Warriors,
Drew.
You can tell. Yeah. I only watched like the first round of games. I didn't get into the later rounds because I had other stuff to do. But in the end, I saw Drew Schiller. I'm like, damn. He can get some buckets.
Nice.
And Ethan Strauss got in the paint a little bit. He was driving layups. He actually had a real nice shot. And John Dickinson was just clogging up the paint, though. He really was. He was boxing out, getting offensive rebounds, getting the bucket back in. I was really impressed by JD.
We should get him on one day to talk about it. Just kind of chat and like, see how'd it go? How you feeling, JD? All right, let's get back to Warrior basketball. Ask him one question.
Yeah. So the one question on everybody's mind, and it's naturally what's going to happen. By the way, we'll just give a shout out right now, just because we will. I know we're kind of getting off topic and getting all over the place, but real quick, just got to give a shout out to two guys in the San Francisco sports world. Bruce Bochy for getting his 1,000th win last night. That's just a tremendous accomplishment as a manager.
As a manager for the Giants.
As a manager for the Giants. That doesn't happen all that often. Just 1,000 wins with one team. Then also Navarro Bowman, who will be retired as a 49er, which makes all the sense in the world. But personally, I thought Bowman could have done way more with his career. He had some terrific, if not, he was one of the best linebackers in the league, if not the best defender in the league at the time, in that span of like 2011 to 2014. Mm-hmm. I felt like he could have gone on a lot longer, but that's just me. I mean, football's a tough sport, you know, and guys, even though you go into like sports like baseball and basketball, and you got guys that are entering like their 30s and they might be entering their primes around that time, but it's a little different in football. But I always felt like Bowman could have done more, and he strikes me as one of the best Bay Area athletes out there who hasn't won a ring.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that when he was playing, he and Patrick Willis were up against with each other, playing with each other. Everybody was saying how, you know, he might be better than P. Willie.
Yeah,
he was on track for that. And then we had, of course, that leg injury that was just heartbreaking for Bowman. But you think of some of the best times recently with the 49ers was when he played.
Yeah.
And that was such a great time, the Harbaugh era and everything that went on there. And it feels like forever ago, but it wasn't that long ago, in all honesty, when you think about it. But some great moments. Yeah, and I wish he could have got a ring.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of the reason why he had come to the Raiders initially, seeing some success with Derek Carr at the time after he had that, you know, that great run until he got hurt in the playoffs. So I think he was kind of hoping for that. Didn't pan out for him, but to have him retire as a Niner, I think, is a perfect ending for him.
It is, and it's good on the 49ers to be doing that. And from the 650 to Chilton Auto Body Text Line, Drew Schiller played D1 at Stanford.
Really? I did not know that.
Had no idea about that. Interesting.
I have to ask him about that one day.
So, as I got off track there, the main topic, the main talking point out of yesterday is what's the status of Klay Thompson. And now we had a whole bunch of sound from media availability yesterday, and here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Klay Thompson.
What we'll have to determine is that a risk? You know, if he plays, are we risking anything? If the training staff feels good about his ability to go out there and play without making things worse, then he'll play. But if there's a risk, we'd rather give him the next couple of days to continue to heal.
Now, Klay Thompson continued about his injury and talked about it.
I think it's just on when I have to stop on a dime or make hard cuts. That's when you feel it the most. If I can just be out there, even at 80%, I still think I can be very effective. So I'll do whatever I can to get to that full 100, but if not, I'll still be out there and try and do what I can to help my team win.
If you only feel it on a couple moves, you're fine. But if you feel it every step of the way, that's not a good sign. And I do not feel it with every move I make, only on certain ones. So you can kind of play through that. But if it was something that was consistent on whenever I move my leg, or if I ever made if I make every sharp cut or every sprint, that would not be good. But it's only a few exact movements that I really feel it, so that's very encouraging.
So it looks like tonight, if Klay does go, we're going to have one of those classic, I guess we're calling it classic now, but one of those classic Klay games where he really just doesn't even dribble the ball. He's just going to have to be moving.
He's going
to
shoot.
He's just going to have to be moving off screens. It's going to be up to catch and shoot. That's what it's going to be. You're going to have one of those games. I mean, he's not going to score 43 points on four dribbles like he did in that one game in the regular season, but you're going to have to just get to a point where it's just straight catch and shoot, because you do not want to aggravate that injury anymore, especially if he's just going to be, you know, taking the ball out and dribbling. That's also been a weak point of his game in this series, mm-hmm. is they've kind of figured out how to stop Klay when he is on the dribble. So I think it's just going to be have to be a straight catch and shoot game for him.
The only thing I'm worried about is when he said, as long as he doesn't have to stop on a dime and make hard cuts. When he's defending Kawhi, that's going to be hard to not do. And we've seen him be successful when he's defending Kawhi Leonard. And he obviously had more success doing that in Game 2, obviously, than Andre in Game 1.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I'm a little more worried about. But, I mean, to have him on the floor, the good thing is that the Toronto Raptors do not know right now how to game plan at the moment. They're going to have to figure out one game with him, one game without him, and try to figure out what they're going to do.
The only thing that really gives me any solace, like kind of a silver lining to me, is that I feel like in that first game, would we consider game one, do we consider that to be the best that we'll see the Raptors play? I feel there was a lot of people that are saying that, but I mean, maybe it was just the best game for Siakam. But I do think, though, that we saw, I don't think in game two that we even saw nearly a scratch of the best of what the Warriors can be, and they still pulled out a win.
Right.
Now, I think with the Raptors, you saw them play at, and you don't want to say it's going to be like the peak of their performance, mm-hmm. but it's certainly up there with just like how well they can actually do with it. Now, they didn't play to their best potential because no one has yet, but I'm just saying that we haven't seen the Warriors best exactly or even play at an elevated level yet, because that game in game two, now that I'm looking back on it, it wasn't that great for the Warriors as a Warrior game, and yet they took that one away. So that's the only thing that really gives me solace in tonight. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm kind of worried.
I'm a little worried tonight, too, with all the injuries and everything right now, and they are hobbling at the moment. And without Kevin Durant playing tonight, because it was actually the idea of maybe having him play tonight would have been huge, but he is ruled out for tonight. I think when
Something
you talk about
mention.
The yeah, I know. I think with the Raptors as well. I think the Raptors, we haven't seen their peak defense right now.
Yeah,
but we also haven't seen the Warriors. You said like the Warriors' peak offense,
right?
So to see if they happen to go together at the same time, who wins out? To me, I still think if you see a peak Warriors offense, I think that's still too hard to stop.
It's just a question of when those two are going to clash, because that was the thing against the Blazers, is if the Warriors weren't going to or if they played just a really good game while the Blazers only played a good game, then the Warriors were going to pull out the win. Or even if the Warriors played just a good game while the Blazers played just a good game, then the Warriors are going to come out with a win every time. So we still have yet to see these two actually clash at their best. But you talked about Klay Thompson guarding Kawhi Leonard, and that's a thing we haven't really taken into account. A lot of people have, and I heard Steiny be one of the first ones to bring it up, was just, but his defense, they're going to miss his defense, especially with this injury. But he talked about guarding Kawhi Leonard yesterday.
Lucky for us, we have so many great defenders. We can throw many looks at him. Kawhi just presents a lot of problems, and his playmaking has gotten so much better since he first got in the league. He's a complete player on that side of the ball, or just a complete player in general, and much different challenge than what I faced these last few rounds. So I embrace it, and it's fun to measure yourself against the best.
Kawhi Leonard's damn good.
He is really good.
I know
he's fun to watch.
I know it's an obvious statement, but that guy is also playing hurt.
Yeah.
And so I do consider Klay to be, I think we could put Klay in that Iron Man class. So seeing Kawhi go out there and able to score 34, even though 16 of those were from free throws, but even though he was still able to make an impact on the game, I still have faith in Klay to make an impact on the game as well. So we'll get into more of this. We'll talk Steve Kerr. He had some comments on the box and one defense that the Raptors were throwing out there. Curious to see how this is going to go. And also, is this, I mean, in terms of, I know we've been talking about, is this just the toughest matchup for the Warriors, but is this the toughest coaching matchup that Steve Kerr has actually faced? We'll get into that. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadak, he's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Today, we're live from Oracle for Game 3. Papa and Fonte get our live coverage started at noon.
These are the NBA Finals.
Then listen to Steiny and Guru on Warriors Live at 4:30.
Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go!
And Game 3 tips off at 6. Only on 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. And we're getting a couple of good texts here and ones that are going to spawn some questions for you, Anna. Mm-hmm. From the 650, the Warriors are still a favorite at -4.5. Is that kind of a shock to you? I heard that number earlier as I was driving in with the guys on Fox Sports who were doing their show, and they're saying at the beginning the Warriors were Raptors were +5. I think so. They were right. Underdogs. They were given 5 or 5.5 at the beginning of the week or after game two. So I'm wondering, like, is this a shock that they're still favored? That number's got to go down, right, from -4.5?
Well, I think yesterday it was at -6.
Oh, really?
So it's gone down definitely.
Wow.
Especially with that, now the news of Kevin Durant not playing in the game. But I think a lot of it has to do with, one, obviously, you have home court advantage here for the Warriors. That's got to take into effect first off. And I think that's also showing a little respect for Steph Curry. And maybe seeing that maybe he will be Finals MVP. And this is the type of game where he can earn that Finals MVP award in this type of game where you have everybody down. And if Steph Curry steps up, now it's going to be also hard because you have a good defense with the Raptors and they're going to be going right after him.
Yeah.
You know that they're going to be figuring something else, probably other than the box and one. So they'll figure something out there.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see who they really put the focus on because they know, and from here we're seeing on the Chillin' Nobody text line also that they expect Steph to have a monster game because if there's any time for there to be a monster game from mm-hmm. Steph, it's going to be this one.
It has to be.
And that's why you're talking about Finals MVP. That's why he's still a heavy favorite for that. I think he's like -200 yeah. to win Finals MVP still. That's because they know that this is the time that Steph, I mean, even though he's already stepped up, I don't want to say this is the time for him to step up, but this is the time for him to step up like at a 100 times higher, at a 100 times higher.
Astronomical, basically.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and this is the time for him to do that. So I agree 100% that that's why he's the favorite to win Finals MVP, but I'm also curious to see how they try to contain Boogie Cousins.
Yes, because that's going to be a big matchup. That's going to be an interesting one because they had no idea what to expect from him in game two.
No idea.
And we saw, obviously, now what he can do. And 28 minutes from him, he's obviously going to probably play more minutes tonight. So they're going to have to game plan around Boogie a lot more.
He was the biggest reason they won because he was the only one performing in the fourth quarter in game two. They just didn't even really keep his eye on him. They didn't expect Cousins to keep on going after only having 8 minutes in game one and then going up to 28 minutes in game two. I think they expected him to be gassed, which he looked like he mm-hmm. was, but when he was getting into play and the adrenaline was pumping, you could tell that he really wasn't all that gassed. But I'm curious to see how they're going to try to contain him as well tonight. There's a lot that could go on, and we're going to get to sound here from head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse, who talked about DeMarcus Cousins playing well.
He passed the ball pretty well. He was a big presence in there. I thought he hit a big three. We didn't close out to him quite hard enough. We were there, but wasn't good enough, and he made it. Kind of kept things ticking over. I think when we were, up maybe 10 and he, cut it to 7 or something like that in the first half. But, no, he played great. And I figured, he's an all-star player. He's got tons of talent. He's a big body. I figured as the series goes on and he gets the timing back and the thing, he'll keep playing better.
So Cousins is on notice, and he is from Nick Nurse. And I think if you're going to have to put like a ranking on it, Nick Nurse has to be the toughest coach that the Warriors have faced in these past 5 years. Because what have you had? David Blatt and Ty Lue.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, you're looking at it.
And LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. You got to count LeBron as the coach there because basically he's the player coach.
Yeah.
So, he's a tougher coach to coach against. But, yeah, Nick Nurse has done a really good job with this team, especially when he had Dwayne Casey last year, who was a Coach of the Year candidate. And then all of a sudden, the guy got fired. And you're thinking, okay, how can somebody step in? But he stepped in beautifully.
Yeah.
And obviously, adding a star like Kawhi Leonard obviously helps. But we've seen it here with the Warriors. You still have to be able to manage your stars and be able to put them in the right situations to get them the win.
And I just think that tonight, if they're looking at DeMarcus Cousins, I do think they're going to put a big focus on him. And from the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, honestly think Curry could care less about MVP as long as they win 100%. But mm-hmm. I think the one thing that we're saying is that in order for them to win, Curry has to have one of those nights that would end up in a finals MVP. Exactly. We're not saying that he's going to be shooting tonight just for the finals MVP. No. We're just saying that he's going to have that type of performance tonight. I mean, that would render a finals MVP win. That's exactly kind of how it's a give and take situation. It's a give and take situation.
Yeah.
So curious to see how that's going to go. And from the 415 randomly, a nice guy. Who you got? Federer, Nadal, French Open semifinal. Federer all the way.
Yeah.
That graceful backhand. You watch tennis?
I like it. I watch a little bit here and there because I like to. I prefer to play tennis, but
right,
yeah, but definitely.
I think I'm going. Federer.
Yeah.
Put your money on Federer.
Yeah.
So you had an interesting story from Mark Stein of the New York Times, and he was talking about Andre Iguodala, and there's a book in the works.
Yeah, so Iguodala has his first book called The Sixth Man. It's actually written by Carville Wallace. It'll be published on June 25th. Now he's actually Iguodala is saying that it's not a tell all, but more a way of unpacking like his journey and just talking about the whole mantra of the sixth man. Because, you know, obviously earlier when he started with the Warriors, Kerr asked him to accept the sixth man job for the good of the group. Iguodala, though, shot down any suggestion that he was a natural for the role when it came to talking to the media about it. But it's now obviously become the title of his book. And he said, actually, this is kind of a funny quote. He said, it's kind of like the nickname Iggy, which I always hated. I was always like, stop calling me that. I don't hate it as much as I used to. I don't mind if people who know me call me Iggy. You just learn to embrace it. But it's kind of a look at what how he got into the mindset of accepting that sixth man role and some other little stories here and there. Like he's actually a kindred spirit with Ron Adams. They get along incredibly well. And, you know, he's referred to, Iguodala at least, he's referred to as the adult in the room when it comes to Golden State, because when it comes to being serious, they go to him, they turn to him. And actually he and Ron Adams have kind of a funny quote when it's time to get serious. They say, forget fun, but instead of forget, it's another word that starts with F.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's some really good stories. And I guess they also kind of talk about how long he plans to play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's been a question mark, whether or not he's going to retire this next year. He's going to continue playing. But mm-hmm. he says he could potentially play 4 or 5 years, but he doesn't know if he's going to.
If I had to choose one player, I'd say from this Steve Kerr era Warriors from, I don't know what, like 2012 on. I mean, is Andre that number one guy you'd want to see a book written by, or would Sean Livingston maybe be up there?
Sean would be the ultimate comeback story with everything that he's gone through. I think that
just with
be,
his entire career,
exactly. Just to see that how that's come to play after his horrific leg injury, just to come back from that, that's got to be an inspirational story.
Yes, and then I mean a book written by Klay Thompson is one that I think everyone
it'd be the most
would
relaxed
purchase.
Book.
It would be the greatest book out. It wouldn't be that many pages. It would probably be
Instagram
like,
stories.
It'd probably be a solid 100, 150 pages. But I feel like Clay would get the gist of whatever he's going to write. No tiptoeing around the point that he's trying to make. He's just going to get straight to the point.
That's true. What's cool about Andre, though, too, is just kind of seeing the difference between his days in Philadelphia versus here.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, you know, having to have that whole idea of he was supposed to take over AI. And then when he comes here, it's. He's taking the six-man role, but he's become kind of Mr. Clutch here for Golden State.
It's amazing when you look at guys like DeMar DeRozan, maybe, who calls himself, quote-unquote, the sacrificial lamb of the Raptors mm-hmm. because he's known as the scapegoat. It's like, no, dude, it's just they brought in a better player than you. Like, you call yourself the, okay, fine, put that label on it if you want, but the fact is they brought a player that was better than you in there, and then they got to the NBA Finals. Like, I don't know how you can even try to be getting any sympathy from that particular thing, but at the same time, though, with Andre Iguodala, you could argue that he's made the biggest sacrifice out of any of these Warriors just because – going to the bench when he needed to, and then coming in huge, and then being one of the catalysts for this team as they go forward in the finals. It's not easy for every guy who does that, especially a guy like Andre Iguodala, who was part of the Olympic team at one point, who mm-hmm. was an all-star, all these sort of things. You don't see that all that often, a player just going to that six-man role just with grace, if I had to put a word on it.
Do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
I think so too.
Well, I'd say so. Draymond Green made it clear that he's. It's obvious that he should be a Hall of Famer at this point. And I think so. I think this finals run in these past 5 years, I think this is what's really put him over the top, because he's ended up being one of the better champions in NBA history. Whether I know there's a lot of players that you can mention as the greatest champions and whatever, but it's a very short list.
And it is a short list.
It's a very short list with the amount of guys that have won championships, and Andre's on that short list, I think.
The other thing about him is, you know, he may not have all the stats and everything that certain NBA players in the Hall of Fame get, but I think it's almost like the idea of when we talk about reading a box score. If you only read the box score of a game, it doesn't tell the full story of the game.
Never.
And I think that's the same thing with Andre Iguodala's legacy as a Golden State Warrior and as an NBA player. And you see what he has done and what he's meant to this team. You've got to look beyond the stats, beyond the box scores, and see what he's done for this team and how he's been such an important part of this team. And really, without him, I don't know if this team would have gotten all those championships.
It's hard to say that they would have. It's hard to say that they would have. From the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, JaVale McGee in that Boo Ray game would be an awesome story. JaVale McGee in general would be a great story mixed with Swaggy P.
Oh my God, that'd be entertaining. That'd be entertaining for sure.
From the 650, if KD stays, Andre retires. If KD goes, he plays those 4 to 5 years with Curry.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
Ooh.
4 or 5 years, though. I mean, he's 35 years old, so that means he's going to play till about 40. That's a tall task, especially with the deep runs that this team makes. So I don't know if I see it 4 or 5 years, but maybe that could be into consideration whether or not he decides to stay or go.
Yeah. And from the 510 on the Chill Nobody text line, DeRozan's a good player. The reason that Toronto's in the finals is LeBron went west. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if DeRozan was a better player, then he would have gotten over that bum Cavs team that was that. Like, I know LeBron was...
That was a terrible...
I know LeBron is LeBron, but they were... I mean, when your number two is J.R. Smith and you don't get past them, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
like you know, Kawhi Leonard is a far superior... Now, DeRozan is a good player.
He is a good
player. He's a good player, but it's just like... It's like,
who'd
hey,
you rather
man,
have?
It's, hey, man, we switched you for a guy who is a superstar, and that is obvious. We will continue to discuss the Warriors game 3. What do you expect tonight? Who's going to have the big game? It's always the question. We're going to do some over-unders on minutes. We'll see how that's going to go, because I'm curious to see what you think about Cousins' minutes. I'm curious to see what you think about Klay's minutes. I'm curious to see what you think about Steph's minutes, Draymond's minutes. Are they going to be going over 40 tonight? Is that just required in order for them to win? Is for Steph and Draymond to be on the floor? We'll get into all that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
The NBA Finals. Warriors.
Curry!
Raptors.
Fly for the win!
Game 3. Tonight at 6. Only on 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. Anna, you were just saying something interesting at the break. You're saying that in terms of guys that... or teams that these Warriors have faced in the past five seasons in the finals. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the type of team you really... The Raptors, you don't really have any sort of...
animosity to
them. Exactly. You don't really... I mean, you want the Warriors to win, obviously, but if the Raptors do win, you're not going to be looking at it like you did with the Cavs in 2016, where you just feel all the anger boiling up in the pit of your stomach.
It's like you tip your cap to them, obviously. If they're able to do it, you tip your cap. But looking back at, you know, think about it, Warrior fans. You hate LeBron James. You hate the Rockets. Yet, I would say this team of the Clippers, though, I didn't really hate the Clippers. I hated the Clippers of the past, obviously, when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and all them were on it. I didn't hate them. I actually have a lot of respect for this current team, even though there's still that little bit of, you know, Clipper LA hate. But I don't feel like I hate this Raptors team. I don't have that, ugh, I want to beat them so bad. I want to beat them.
Right.
But I'm not like, you know, I think the thing is with Kawhi Leonard, I really have so much respect for him. And I'm not saying I didn't have respect for LeBron James, but there is just more of this kind of competitive edge, more of this kind of almost hate. I hate to say that use such a strong word for it, but almost a hate towards the player.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with Kawhi Leonard, that he's more of a quiet personality and he kind of just lets the game speak for himself.
Yeah, that's really the difference, I think, is these guys. Kyle Lowry is one. Everyone's really, I think a lot of people hate on Kyle Lowry just because of his history in the playoffs, and he's known as a guy who can't perform on the big stage, but he's not the type of guy that you're like, yeah, I want to see that guy lose, because he's not. Although, from game two, Lowry was annoying, I think, every Warrior fan that was in the building, that was watching on TV, because every time he drove to the basket, he thought he was going to get a foul call, or every time that he just stood in the paint, he thought he was going to get a charge, because we did see that stat that they'd always throw up on ABC, and that's they're going to throw it again tonight if he takes another charge, but he's going to lead all of playoffs in offensive charge or in charges with like 16 or whatever, or taking charges rather. So I think he annoys people more than anything, but there's not really another guy on the Raptors who you really just don't like.
Exactly. But he ended up also fouling out. Or you have somebody like, you know, from the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, we hate Westbrook. You got all these different players that you tend to hate.
Yeah.
And you really just want to beat them.
Right.
You just really want to go after them. And then you have like somebody like James Harden, you feel like, oh my gosh, we can never. He gets every single call.
Yeah.
That's what you feel like. And that's where that whole idea of, oh, Steph doesn't get calls. Well, we did see some go his way in game two.
We saw some interesting ones in game two. There was just a lot. There were so many foul calls. There were just too many.
Swallow the whistle.
Too many to count. But the big story going into today's game is Klay Thompson and whether he will go. And Steve Kerr spoke with the media yesterday and talked about Klay's injury.
What we'll have to determine is that a risk? If he plays, are we risking anything? If the training staff feels good about his ability to go out there and play without making things worse, then he'll play. But if there's a risk, we'd rather give him the next couple of days to continue to heal.
Then Klay Thompson continued and talked about his own injury.
I think it's just on when I have to stop on a dime or make hard cuts. That's when you feel it the most. If I can just be out there, even at 80%, I still think I can be very effective. So I'll do whatever I can to get to that full 100. But if not, I'll still be out there and try and do what I can to help my team win. If you only feel it on a couple moves, you're fine. But if you feel it every step of the way, that's not a good sign. And I do not feel it with every move I make, only on certain ones. So you can kind of play through that. But if it was something that was consistent on whenever I move my leg, or if I ever made if I make every sharp cut or every sprint, that would not be good. But it's only a few exact movements that I really feel it. So that's very encouraging.
So when you hear that, it can hurt maybe if he tries to stop on the dime or make hard cuts, which would you be more worried about to aggravate the injury? What he would do on offense or what he would do defensively?
Oh, defense for sure. 100% defense, because he's going to be having to chase Kawhi Leonard, and he will stop on a dime, and he can do all that, and he can make the hard cuts. So it's for me, it's going to be the more defense. And we've talked about it earlier in the show too, where Klay can just shoot off without even dribbling. Yeah, he could just shoot the ball, catch and throw, and just go. So I think when it comes to what it's going to be a harder part for him, it's going to make a bigger effect on his defense rather than the offense.
It's going to offense. I do agree with you, but I also think offensively, man, Curry's going to be working off the ball and trying to draw defenders every which way, because normally when you have Steph and Klay, that's a big reason why the Warriors get so many open shots, because when you got Steph and Klay both going off the ball, just swerving and, you know, all these certain things, going around to the three-point line, going to the corner and then fooling these guys, going out of bounds, going along the baseline, doing whatever they have to do. And Klay's not going to be all that mobile, I don't think. So we're going to be seeing – I think that offensively it could affect Steph way more, because Steph's just going to be moving off the ball, just try to do whatever he can to get open.
Steph's not stopping.
Also take whichever defender is on Klay. I think most likely it would be Kyle Lowry if Klay ends up starting. So Steph Curry's going to have to try and draw Danny Green and Kyle Lowry towards him while hopefully getting Klay open.
Yeah, by the way, 650, Drake, People are saying they hate Drake. Yeah. But is somebody who's off the court, though? That's the thing. He's somebody that's off the court. He's not on the court.
Can't we count that?
I guess we can.
Can we? People hate him. Whenever we talked about Drake, when we first started this whole Drake thing, people were arguing for Drake, saying that he's a part of the team. He's a global ambassador. So I think this one, considering he is part of the team in a way, maybe not on the court, I think that that hatred can carry over into the game.
I think we could count.
I mean,
you had Lowe, who didn't want the Raptors to even play in the finals because they didn't want to see Drake at Oracle. So we'll see what happens tonight with him. I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with him tonight at Oracle Arena.
I think it's going to be underwhelming.
I think so too.
I think it's going to be underwhelming. Maybe
a little jokes here and there with E40. Probably
because the biggest thing to come. Well, hopefully there's another just iconic photo where you got Steph and Quinn Cook body bumping each other when no timeout was called and Steph was out.
Yeah.
And Quinn Cook was in.
It's one of those calls we were talking about he got in game two.
And Cook had to get back on defense, but he was still celebrating with a teammate. But it created one of the more iconic photos from these finals. I think that's a peak of what we can hope for. And maybe KD and Drake talking trash to him afterwards. Or KD and Clay talking trash to him afterwards. Because those were the highlights, really, with the whole Drake saga in Game 2. So we'll see what it is with Game 3. But I go into every game thinking that it's probably going to be underwhelming.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Everyone's saying, see you in the Bay, Aubrey. That's from the 209. So we'll see what he brings tonight. What do you think about Kevon Looney, though? How much is he going to be missed tonight?
Well, the thing is, it's the question of how are they going to close out these quarters? Because Kevon Looney's the guy they lean on in the closing out of these quarters to kind of keep things afloat, especially the pressure that it puts on Boogie Cousins to stay on the floor, as well as the pressure that it puts on Bogut. I think that the minutes are going to go up for both of them. If we're going to play the over-under game, I think if we're just going to put it, you know what, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
If we're going to put it on DeMarcus Cousins and Bogut. Bogut had 7 minutes in game two, while DeMarcus Cousins had 28. Are we just expecting, is that just an instant over for both of them?
100%. They're both going over. You don't have Kevon there. I know that Kevon was better matchup for the first two rounds he was definitely better matchup with the Clippers and the Rockets as well. But I think that
the Blazers too.
And the Blazers too. Yeah, definitely with the Blazers. But I think that he will be missed when it comes to the minutes. But I think both of them will be over.
So we're looking at Steph and Draymond. Mm-hmm. Now with Clay possibly playing, let's just assume Clay plays. I think that's just what. Should we go under that assumption? Is that appropriate to go under that assumption?
He said 80%, and he said that he's moving.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if he doesn't play just based on him. I mean, I'm actually more worried if he doesn't play. If he doesn't play, that means it's pretty bad. But even though, you know, you do want him to make sure to be healthy enough to maintain for the rest of the series. So if they're just trying to be cautious, I could see him resting tonight. But I'll be kind of shocked if he doesn't play.
So we got Steph and Draymond and Clay. Clay went 32 minutes last game. Steph and Draymond both went 40. Are we going to go? We have to up Steph and Draymond's minutes, don't we?
Yes.
I guess if we're playing this over.
Draymond, how much more higher can he get? Is he just going to play the entire time?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to play these guys 48 minutes. You're going to have to go full Wilt Chamberlain and average 48 and a half minutes, which he did for one season.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. Jeez. But yeah, they're going to have to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Steph and Draymond in there for 45 minutes tonight. I really wouldn't be surprised because everything gets affected, especially with Clay, because he's the catalyst for that second and fourth quarter unit, that depth lineup that I've been preaching oh so much. Clay's been the one guy that they lean on for taking shots there. Maybe it's going to have to be Jerebko now, but I think the only way that you're going to have success is to get Steph and Draymond in the game as soon as possible. Sit them for a couple of minutes at a time, but you're not going to have to sit them all that much because those two, I think their minutes are going to go way up tonight.
You had an interesting thought yesterday that if Clay doesn't play, what do you do with Andre Iguodala? Do you move him back to that bench unit so that way you can get more, you know, you can
just
get
something
there.
Like a safety net at least on the bench because Kevon Looney was that safety net.
Yeah, and you don't have that anymore. You know Kevon and then potentially no Clay tonight. They're going to get steamrolled if they don't have anybody else there. So that was kind of – I didn't think about it as a possibility because I feel like with KD out, you have to have Andre Iguodala in that starting lineup. But maybe you still have him in there, but you still have him kind of – I'm trying to figure out how to put him with that second unit because I think he's going to be needed to help them.
They're going to have to get someone going in terms of shooting because that's in the second and fourth quarter, that's where the defense dies. That's just where it's just straight offense on offense versus offense on both teams. Who can actually make more open buckets and who can get open? That's going to be the question. I know it's not even that big of a – like I've just been going off on these second and fourth quarter units, but I think every – game we've seen, it's just when we're talking about strength and numbers, these matter more than with other teams, especially with the Raptors. But I'm really curious to see how they're gonna just defend DeMarcus Cousins, because he kind of had what some would consider a breakout game for him, I guess, from his injury. And then so Nick Nurse is probably going to make an adjustment on that. Steph Curry, you're going to assume is – I think Draymond's going to be taking the ball out a majority of the time.
Yeah.
It's going to be Draymond, and you're going to be seeing Steph try and run around. I don't know if we're going to see Quinn Cook maybe on the floor with that starting unit.
You'll see him a lot. Ooh, maybe at the starting unit.
At points. Yeah. I don't know who they're going to start with the start. Like, if Clay go – it's really a – it's a toss-up right now.
I don't know how Steve Kerr's going to do this.
Because Steve Kerr's done one thing, and he's – one thing he's done real well is keep things a mystery. Remember when he started Jacob Evans, I want to say, in game three? I think it was game three against the Blazers, and he started Jacob Evans out of nowhere. I really don't think you know which kind of rotations Kerr's going to throw out. Because if you do, feel free to text the Chill Nobody text line at 95795 if you have any idea. What is going to be your starting lineup tonight? Do you just want – it to be the classic Steph, Clay, Draymond, Andre, and Boogie? Do you just want to go with that straight up, or do you want to try and mix it up in order to kind of alleviate the lack of shooting in those second units that they bring out there?
Well, like Quinn Cook, Quinn Cook's definitely going to be a big shooter. He's going to be big on the offensive role, but you talked about the defense, and his defense is not as strong, obviously. So that's something where you got to figure out, okay, how do you kind of fill that gap? How do you kind of just help with that part of it, because that's going to be a big factor, because you're going to have a really good defense with the Raptors. We cannot cut them short because they have a phenomenal defense, but you can have a great, can have a good offense. This is not the same offense though without your stars.
Right. And then from the 408 on the Chill Nobody text line, you guys have no faith in our bench. Our bench needs to step up and have one of the biggest games of their lives.
Of course.
Yeah, of course they do. But think about how tall of an order that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, they're going to come out and have the best game of their life because it's on the line. It's such a tall task to say that. There's a reason that the Raptors only play like 8 players instead of 13. There's a reason they do that. It's because they just don't want to risk what the bench can bring, and that's a risk that you're going to have to be willing to take tonight. Livingston's minutes might go
He'll
up.
Go
it's going to be big for Livingston as well. And from the 707 on the Chill Nobody text line, Cousins, Dre, Iggy, Steph, and Alfonso.
That's if Clay's not playing.
If
Clay's not playing, then you have Alfonso McKinney star, which I see that. I can see that. Do you think him or Quinn?
I mean, if Clay's not playing, you could see Quinn as the point guard, move Steph over to shooting guard, and then just have Andre and Draymond at forward, and Cousins at the big man position. I mean, from the 925, we're seeing put Quinn Cook in the starting rotation with Steph. I think maybe Sean Livingston's going to have to lead that second unit that Quinn Cook is a point guard for.
I mean, he is a veteran. He's been in this situation. I know that he's not the Livingston of old, and he's more Livingston getting old. But at the same time, he does have game left. He does have some gas left in the tank, and I think that he will step up big in those type of moments. From 650, the Drebko statue game.
That's coming.
We're going to see that, I guess, tonight.
Yeah. All right. There we go. The Raptors defense, you mentioned that. The last game, they had one guy on Steph and the rest of their guys played zone. And whoever was in their designated area, they just took that guy. And that's what they called the box and one defense. It's a very basic defense that you run when you are in school. And Nick Nurse talked about it. And I haven't heard this audio yet, but the cut here says Nick Nurse talks about the box and one, then in parentheses, awkward.
Well, we were having trouble getting our defense set up. We were having trouble at the basket a little bit. And we're having trouble with the rhythm of the game there. And usually, you know, you use like any zone, so it's a type of zone. You know, that's what you're using zone for a lot. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We played some zone during the regular season, and you usually do it to when the game's funky and there's a bad rhythm, and maybe you can change it.
This, I just realized, is the key for what the Warriors need to do tonight, is they need Nick Nurse to react like this when they throw out whatever lineups they need to throw out there.
Well, we were having trouble getting...
Yeah, that's yeah. exactly it.
We want that to be the reaction.
Well,
yep. Want him to be confused just like that. Oh, my gosh. That was so interesting. You're right, because that was that's like kind of the middle school lineup that you see. It's that kind of defense that you see in middle school. And, you know, it's very basic, but it got the job done.
Yeah.
Draymond Green, though, apparently had said, he throws that out again. I know how to pick it apart now.
Let me see if I can find that, because I got Draymond Green talking about the Raptors' defense.
You know, I think they'll probably throw more of that box and one or whatever they were doing with Steph out there. It was kind of a shocker, you know, when they threw that out there 7-8 minutes to go in the game, something that we hadn't saw. You know, we've seen it now, so I plan on dicing it up if they throw it out there again.
So Draymond Green going to be making the big adjustment. Oh, I wonder who's going to be making the bigger one. Finally, because from the 408, they're kind of spawning this. 9 different starting lineups Kerr's thrown out there. He's an unbelievable coach and still doesn't get the credit he deserves. It's one of the classic cases of a coach who's had the stars, and they feel like just because the coach is thrown out there, especially when Luke Walton filled in for him when he was having those the back issues, and then Luke Walton only lost once. It's kind of that same thing with the whole... the Warriors are 32-2 without KD on the floor, and you know the Warriors are whatever. They're 27-1 without Kerr. You don't need Steve Kerr. It was kind of similar. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a similar narrative coming out of that.
It's the foundation that he set up. Him, Bob Myers, the entire Warrior organization. They've set up a fantastic foundation for this team. They've put basically these guys. You know, they've kind of set it up for them. Like this is what we expect. These are the expectations for this team. But everybody has bought in to Steve Kerr's plan, because we've seen what happened with, you know, Mark Jackson, what he did with this team. And then we see what Steve Kerr did with this team. And then we've also seen how different coaches have gone on, different assistant coaches have gone on to their own teams. Luke Walton that you talked about. I'm blanking all of a sudden with Pelicans. Alvin Gentry.
There you go.
And just thinking, seeing what they have done. Obviously, they don't have the same stars that here at Golden State, but it is something to say that you need to manage your stars. You need to also figure out, you need them to all buy in
right.
and work together as a team. Just the idea we talked about earlier, Andre Iguodala coming out with a book on June 25th, talking about taking that 6-man role. Steve Kerr went to him and said, you know, this is how I think we're going to succeed, having you take that role. It's something that's hard for him to swallow, but he did it. And obviously, having somebody like Steve Kerr talking to him about it, I don't think any other coach could have made him bought in like that.
Right. And then when you combine like just a player's coach with like Steve Kerr, mm-hmm. Doc Rivers is kind of that same way.
Right.
You combine that with a couple of stars. Well, not a couple. You got a few. You combine that with that, handling the players, and also tactically facing a Raptors team and doing it in a way where half of your team is playing on one leg.
Literally.
Like, managing that is something that not any coach really will get any credit for. It's always going to be the stars.
So if they win the finals this year, finally, after all the injuries, after everything that this team has gone through, will he finally get the credit he deserves?
A lot will be cleared up. A lot will be cleared up. There's going to be not only will it be Steve Kerr, it will be Steph Curry, it will be Draymond, it will be all these guys who people are saying that they can't win without Kevin Durant. Like, that's what makes this just about as important of a finals as the one in 2014, 2015, when they were first trying to get a title. And you know what? From the 408, they've been typing in all caps, a lot of energy coming in mm-hmm. at 5 in the morning. So I'm going to start from the bottom because they've been texting since 5:30. Oh, my God. Klay needs to sit tonight's game. Stop on a diamond hard cuts. Are you kidding me? That's his defensive game. He tears it. And then what? Come on, Klay. Take a game off. Are you kidding me? Did that again. He said that one again. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is feeling bad for the Warriors. They still will have 3 All-Stars out on the floor, so man up and get it done, Steph, Dre, and Boogie.
And it's a good point. 3 All-Stars. Those are great All-Stars to have on there.
Again, Key to the game. Number one key to the game, make Nick Nurse react like this.
Well, we were having trouble getting our defense set up. We were having trouble
getting our defense set up. Well, I'm hoping that's what the third quarter or halftime, whatever the report is from Doris Burke when he's sitting there and she's just like, well, Nick, how what'd you do against this Warriors offense and how did it, whatever. And then he's just like,
I don't know what I like better, your Nick Nurse drop in there or the Doris Burke impersonation.
It was a very subtle Doris Burke impersonation. I love Doris Burke.
I love her.
She's so good.
She's amazing.
I like the team that they throw out there, but I'd be very down to have Doris Burke as an analyst on those games because she was fantastic in these playoffs, especially when it was the 76ers and the Bucks. We got about a minute left, Anna. So coming up, you think that tonight, if the Warriors do win, that they're just winning in five.
They have to. If they win in five, I think if they win tonight, this will break the Raptors tonight. Because this team, after everything, you have Kevin Durant apparently coming back for game four. He comes back. They shut the door on this one. They're done. It's all done in five if they win tonight.
Seems like there's always a situation where you're sitting there going, all right, Stephanie's to have a big game. Well, with that injury to Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney now, this is where Steph is going to have like I can't even think of a word for it. What's bigger than a monster game? A Titan game?
Yeah. The Titans. Remember the Titans.
What?
I don't know. Aren't they those big creatures that were in the sea and everything? They were huge. They're bigger than monsters.
What are you talking about?
Aren't they the Titans?
What?
Okay.
I know Denzel Washington to remember the Titans. 10 seconds left. We got Joe Lowe and Dibs coming up with Anthony Slater and Tim Hardaway. And shout out to all the guys that played in the media basketball tournament yesterday. That was awesome. Joe Lowe and Dibs in 10 seconds coming up.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.